Bushun in dinaway magani dug. Beishiko benesia que indigo, mong in du dame. Ga osis quajime kagan dunjaba, ga mesqua wako kagan da. Elaine Fleming in dishinakas. Hello, my relatives. My spirit name is One Thunderbird Woman, and my clan is the Loon Clan. I'm a member of the Leech Lake Nation, and I live in Gamisqua Wako Kag, the place of where there were red cedar trees. And now, if you look on the map, it's called Cass Lake, Minnesota, named after one of the great colonizers, and not well-known colonizers, Governor Cass. And 14 miles to the west of Gamisqua Wako Kag is a place called Bemidji. And it's a place where we go, right? We Leech Lakers know Bemidji well. And we go there to spend our money, spend a lot of our money in Bemidji Kamag. And so that's that city was named after a man. They thought it was named after a man called Chief Bemidji, but that wasn't his actual name. His actual name was Shenawishkung, and that means it rattles. But Shenawishkung was the first, his family and other Cass and Leech Lake Ojibwe, they made their first permanent settlement on the south shore of Lake Bemidji in 1883. And he was an elder and a spokesman for this group of Ojibwe, and he welcomed the first white settlers to the Bemidji area in 1888. When Shenawishkung shared the name of the lake, Bemidji Kamag, which means water moving sideways along the shore, the settlers thought he was sharing his name, so they mistakenly named the new village after him, Bemidji. But and so the Mississippi River, the Mississippi River, runs through Lake Bemidji. And so that's the water that's running sideways along the shore. And the Shenawishkung, he had his land there in Bemidji. He lived there for years and years, and he had great relationships with the settlers. But he was removed to his allotment land on the Cass Lake Reservation in 1903, and he died in 1904 on his allotment land of pneumonia. He had hoped that he would be buried on his land in Bemidji, but wasn't, and we're really not sure where he is actually buried at. We think it's in the Madalen graveyards out here on Lake Andrusia, on the road going towards the mission out north of Cass Lake. So Shenawishkung began his life during the removal era for the Ojibwe people, which was, for all the people in the United States, the indigenous peoples, the removal era was from 1830 to 1854. And there were 70 removal treaties and approximately 100,000 indigenous Americans east of the Mississippi were removed to Indian territory in Oklahoma in order to enable the western expansion of the new nation state. And in these removals, thousands of indigenous Americans died. So this, for us though, that removal didn't hit us then. It didn't actually hit us until the 1850. And I will get into that when I talk about the Sandy Lake tragedy. But during the removal era, the Shenawishkung, he experienced the 1837 First Great Land Cession Treaty, where our land was ceded in Wisconsin and Minnesota. But we retain usufructory rights, the right to hunt, fish, and gather on ceded lands. also to live on ceded lands, and that was guaranteed to us in the treaty, in the writing of the treaty. And it was during the pleasure of the President of the United States. So we would live in peace in order to retain our usufructuary rights. In 1847, there was a treaty with the pillager band, where almost 1 million acres of land along the Long Prairie River were ceded for a reservation for the Ho-Chunk Menominee. The pillagers thought we were lending the land to the U.S., and hoping for peace with the Dakota, we looked at this new reservation as a buffer zone between the two nations. Pillagers agreed to no financial payments or annuities, and we ceded the land for blankets, cloth, 200 warranted beaver traps, and 75 Northwest guns. And we were told that this land was always to remain Indian land. The Ho-Chunks and the Menominee, they chose not to live there. And what they would do is they were removed there, but then they kept running back home to their own reservations. And then they would be returned back to this reservation. Eventually, they just got to go home. But they had hoped to open up their reservations to the settlers, their land to the settlers. So that our land, though, along that river, when the Ho-Chunk and Menominee left, they opened that land up to the settlers. And so we didn't get it back, and we received no monetary compensation for it. The 1847 treaty would become a back matter that the pillagers would continue to request to be settled. And Shenaushkung was a pillager, and he was 13 years old in 1847 when that treaty with the pillager band was made, and we lost almost 1 million acres of land. And in 1849, Minnesota became a territory. There was a rush of homesteaders, and it propelled the growth of Minnesota's non-Indian population from fewer than 5,000 in 1849 to around 172,000 in 1860. And so you can imagine, I talked originally about that 1825 Treaty of Prairie du Chien, where we were given... We were told we had owned the land north of that line, and the Bwanak, the Sioux, owned the land south of that area. But by 1849, Minnesota had become a territory. And the population, their population, the settler population, had grown from 5,000 to 172,000 in 1860, 49, 50, 11 years. So we saw them coming, and we knew how it was to deal with these settlers, and what we knew was loss of land. And that's one of the elements of historical trauma, is loss of land, loss of people, and loss of culture. And so that's a little bit more about Shenaushkung's life and the eras in which he lived. Miigwech, Bisan Dawieg, Miigwech, Miiu.